At War with War, The True Story of Scoop, by W.F. Deeds, read by the author. One Sunday morning, early in August 1935, I was summoned from the Morning Post reporter's room by H.A. Gwynne, editor since 1911, and asked if I was willing to go as the newspaper's correspondent to Abyssinia, where war with Italy seemed inevitable. Gwynne had been a Reuters war correspondent in the South African War, along with Winston Churchill, Edgar Wallace and others, and so had plenty of avuncular advice to offer. A dead correspondent, he reminded me cheerfully, was useless to his newspaper. A finger of whiskey in a water bottle killed bugs in doubtful water. Above all, as a representative of the Morning Post, I must look the part, acquire the proper kit, and so on. Anxious to seem equal to the occasion, I nodded eagerly, but felt unable to contribute much to the conversation because, at the age of 22, I had never travelled beyond Switzerland, had never been a war correspondent, and knew nothing about Abyssinia. Gwynne, observing my silence, thought I might wish to think over the offer. I promised to do so, and put in a telephone call to my distinguished uncle, Sir Wyndham Deeds, whose residence in Bethnal Green's Victoria Park Square I shared. After soldiering in the Boer War with the 60th Rifles, he had become an army interpreter in Turkish and Arabic, was appointed an intelligence officer at the Dardanelles, and ended the 1914-18 war with Allenby and Lawrence of Arabia at Government House in Jerusalem. He received my news calmly, thought it was up to me to decide, but saw no reason to refuse. The Morning Post news editor, Mervyn Ellis, was manifestly relieved by my acceptance. He had, I surmised, recommended my name to Gwynne. In some respects, I was a good candidate for such a venture, being young, unmarried, without dependents, and easily insurable. After I had agreed to go, Ellis told me the newspaper thought it likely that those reporting the war from the Abyssinian side would be cut off by the Italian advance, so I must be equipped to withstand a long siege. That line of thought led to a lively shopping spree. At Austin Reed in Regent Street, where Ellis and I made most of our purchases, the notion of preparing me for an extended siege was greeted with enthusiasm. We were persuaded to buy, among other things, 3 topical suits, riding breeches for winter and summer, bush shirts, a solar topi, a double-brim sun hat, a camp bed and sleeping bag, and long boots to deter mosquitoes at sundown. To contain some of these purchases, we bought 2 large metal uniform cases and a heavy trunk made of cedar wood and lined with zinc to keep ants at bay. Nobody seemed to know much about the climate, except that it was highly variable. In the Somaliland and Danakil lowlands, one would encounter semi-tropical conditions. Addis Ababa, where I was to go, was 8,000 feet above sea level, with temperatures during most of the year now higher than an early English summer. At the Army and Navy stores in Victoria Street, we found a department that specialised in kitting out those bound for the tropics. They knew where Abyssinia was and could suggest the right medicines for the region. These included bottles of quinine pills, which were then reckoned to be the best protection against malaria. The Army and Navy also produced slabs of highly nutritious black chocolate, an iron ration for emergencies, to go inside the zinc-lined trunk. Our purchases in all weighed just short of £600, a quarter of a ton. I was not to know that such extravagance would contribute